Welcome to The Business Drink. I'm Bill Decker, and I'm here in the studio today with Melissa Horn. Hello, Melissa.
Hi.
Hi, glad to have you. In from China, I think.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I was hoping to talk to you about some of the business opportunities created with the upcoming Olympics in Beijing.
Ah, the Olympics coming up. I read an article about that.
You did?
Actually, I just got back from China a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, there are opportunities.
Fantastic.
They're abounding.
So you mentioned something to me. I don't understand what you're talking about. You said something about the first three opportunities being English, English, English.
English, English, English are the first three. One, two, and three. What happened was I wanted to kind of be catchy and fun on the radio, so I called them all the same thing.
Okay.
But there's English language. If you teach English, now's the time to do it. If you're a school, if you're a software company, if you're a celebrity, now's the time, because China wants to learn English.
Can you make money?
You can make money. Companies will pay you, individuals will pay you, factories will pay you. So that's the first opportunity, teaching this country English. And you see signs coming up in English and things like that. The second one would be English media. If you have Western movies in English, if you have songs in English, posters, artwork, all of this media can now be sold in China because, again, the Chinese are trying to learn English. So anything that escalates that process.
So when you were there this last time, did you notice that there's more English media available than what had been, you know, previously under the communist regime?
Oh, much more, much more. Websites written by Chinese in English, more brochures translated into English, street signs are in English. All taxi drivers in Beijing have to know three sentences in English to renew their license.
What are they?
They have to say, welcome to Beijing, are you here for the Olympics, and have a nice day.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, and they have to say that to customers.
Oh, that's terrific.
And they have to walk into their Department of Motor Vehicles and say, I want to renew my license and take this English test.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the country wants to learn English.
Oh, that's exciting.
And the third English opportunity is education. Not teaching English, but teaching in English. Did I confuse the entire listener?
You totally confused me.
You've got the deer in the headlights look there.
Yeah.
Teaching in English, for example, an MBA in English, an accounting degree in English, physics in English, anything that has to do with just subject matter, but teaching it in English instead of Chinese.
Okay. So, I think that's brilliant. When I was applying for jobs not too long ago in Chinese, unfortunately, you don't always learn the technical language that you need for a job in an English class.
Exactly.
So it seems like a really practical way to study the language.
Exactly. You got to kind of make up that word.
Right.
And sometimes you'll hear Chinese speak Chinese, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, waterproof.
That's awesome. Okay. So you also mentioned Western service techniques. What were you talking about?
Well, what's happening now is there's a deluge of foreigners going to live in China because of the Olympics. And they are used to service a certain way, certain type of hotel, hot water, clean sheets, service at restaurants. And teaching Chinese how to do this is a huge industry. Going to the Marriotts, the Ramada Inns, the Hyatts, and working with Chinese staff and saying, this is what Westerners expect. This is how to talk to them. A key cultural thing is that when Chinese get embarrassed, they laugh.
Right.
So Americans try to communicate with the lady at the Hyatt, and she starts laughing. And they get more and more frustrated because I'm trying to explain something to you and you're laughing in my face. So trying to explain some of these nuances and how the West does business.
Okay. I'm sorry. Now I'm nervous and I'm laughing.
There you go. Why are you laughing at me?
Sorry.
This is a Chinese theater right here.
I know, right? Okay. So what about Chinese business education?
That's really geared towards Westerners who want to do business in China. So many Westerners go over to China. They have no idea what they're doing. They're not prepped. They're not trained. They speak none of the language. So the idea of training Westerners who are heading into China or who've recently arrived is what I would call my fifth business opportunity.
So you're telling me that not everybody speaks English in China?
Not everybody speaks English. Not everybody speaks English here in the States. I don't know if anyone's noticed.
I hope that wasn't another South reference.
I have a New York accent. I don't know if anyone understands me.
What about opportunities for Chinese brands?
Well, that's a huge opportunity now because the Chinese have been making really good brands, but they're not marketing them well. Hmm. And Americans are still considered marketing experts of the world. So the idea of showing the Chinese how to promote their technology, how to promote their foods, how to promote their consumer products, you don't see a lot of that in the West yet. What you see is the Chinese way of getting into the U.S., they buy companies. They turn around and they say, we'll buy IBM. And we'll have that marketing equity that comes with it. But the idea of showing Chinese how to market a uniquely Chinese brand in the West is my seventh business opportunity.
And with that, that sort of goes hand in hand with promoting foreign brands in China, right?
Yes, yes. There's a thirst now, pardon the business drink analogy, for Chinese to buy U.S. brands and other Western brands, Dutch, French, German, and promoting those brands. You're not going to do Coca-Cola or 7-Up. Those are huge companies with huge marketing departments. But microbrews that compete with some of the big breweries, small soft drinks, small consumer products, things that are in reach of the common person, candy, chocolate, you know, not jet planes, of course.
Sure. I know that marketing, it's a really kind of revolutionary concept in China right now. It's something they haven't even been allowed to do up until recently. Do you think they do like a localized kind of marketing, or are they doing things at the national level now?
Well, there's both. It's actually harder to market across China than it is for Chinese to market in the U.S. The provincial laws that separate the different districts of China make it impossible to market across those borders.
I see.
The former state-owned enterprise, the government-owned factories, their motto was buy our vacuum cleaner or don't vacuum. You know,
right.
Buy our oven or freeze to death. I mean, this is really the only game in town.
So when you were there last, did you notice the Chinese have more choices in products that American or Western brands are more accessible to them?
Many more choices. What's kind of scary about what's going on in China now are these modern shopping malls that are opening with Bulgari and Gucci, Movado, some of these giant luxury brands, and no one's ever in the malls.
Oh, right.
Because it's still out of reach of the common person.
It's out of reach of the common person here.
Yeah, true. I went to the Ferrari dealership.
Did you?
In Beijing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anyone's aware of this, but Chinese can't pronounce the word Ferrari.
That makes sense.
So they're buying a car they can't pronounce, which I think is kind of interesting.
That's awesome.
And they sell about 8 a month.
You're kidding.
Out of the main one in Beijing.
I wonder how that would compare to a dealership here in the States.
Well, I have 7 of them.
So you do? All right, I'm sure you bought them all in 1 month, too. Okay, so what about travel and tourism?
Well, travel and tourism is always the industry that moves people and product across borders. What's happening now are Western tourists are hitting China, and they're demanding more and more service. They're demanding air-conditioned vans and better buses and better taxis and subways that are clean. They're demanding all of these Western amenities. So it's a business that if you're not in, you don't want to get in. But if you're already in the travel and tourism area, it makes sense to start promoting more in China.
So are there any, or did you ever see any Western tourism agencies operating there, taking Westerners on tour buses, Western run?
Oh, yeah. It's really kind of funny, too, because the Westerners kind of get on and they have the cameras around their neck. And, it looks like everybody came in from somewhere. And they go to the markets where the Chinese love to sell everything. And it's literally bringing lambs to the slaughterhouse. And, in the markets, they grab you. It's kind of interesting. They touch you. And China is not a touchy-feely culture. And the last time I was there, I actually wore a short sleeve shirt and put baby oil on my arm. So every time they would touch me, their hands would slide off.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I played a little joke.
That's just mean.
Well, they're grabbing you at the market.
They're like those greasy Americans.
And their pitch is, you buy this now. That's what they do. You buy this. So it's a convincing sales argument.
So they're learning English.
They're learning. Yeah, they're learning how to sell in English for sure.
they've got their three important senses.
Right.
Okay, and what about business centers?
This is a business that I've seen happen all over the world. And what you have is your naive Western business person landing in these countries that have no idea what to do. They can't speak. They can't walk. They can't talk. They can't read a menu. They can't judge a hotel. They really are lost. And maybe they have 2 or 3 meetings set up. But beyond that, they really need someone to take care of them. So these business centers can open, providing translation, interpretation, legal services, accounting services, just general getting around concierge services, and those have yet to open in China.
So this is a for-profit kind of thing. It's not like your World Trade Organization centers like that we have here in Denver.
Profit. Let's go for profit.
Okay.
And people will pay for it. The difficulty is if you're going to China, you're flying from wherever you go. You're spending hours and hours on a plane. You're going through airport security. Now you can't even carry anything.
Right.
You can't bring a sandwich or a bottle of water.
Right.
You get there, you're shaking with hunger. Mm. And people who are spending that kind of time, money, and agony to go overseas will spend for a business center and say, help me. help me navigate China and maybe do some extra stuff because, you know, as long as I'm in Beijing, I do want to go see the Great Wall. Can you help me do that?
Sure. And can people make contacts through these places too? I mean, do they have networking opportunities?
Ideally, it would help if they could go in and they could say, look, I'm looking for a distributor for my fountain pens. Can you help me find one? Business centers are going to have a whole other realm in China because there's so many stories about people making things in China and getting ripped off.
Right.
So the idea of someone evaluating and judging and certifying these suppliers is an enormous business opportunity that is yet to be exploited.
That sounds like really exciting. Maybe we should go into business.
Maybe we should go do this right now.
I know. Let's start our business plan.
And the business drink in China is tea.
Oh, tea.
Tea. They give it to you all the time.
Any particular variety, like flower tea or green tea?
These chrysanthemums, canceled checks, whatever they've got lying around, they boil up and they serve it to you.
I've heard some pretty interesting things about Chinese green tea, though, that the way that they were treating it was driving large vehicles over it to press it.
To press the tea?
And then it would get so polluted by the cars' pollutants that's actually really bad for you. Is that true?
10W40T, it's one of my favorites. Yeah. I mean, no, I hadn't heard of that.
It's kind of scary. It doesn't sound tasty.
But if you've ever made Chinese tea, you know you have to actually brew the leaves and then dump out the water.
Yes.
And then add water.
Mm-hmm.
And I never understood why until I went to a tea factory and saw that the leaves are on the floor and they're drying and people walk through them and...
It's people's feet on the leaves.
Feet, dogs, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see any trucks, though.
So what happens if you don't drink Chinese tea because you might not want to drink people's feet sweat?
Yeah, well, that's a problem. you drink the tea because they boil the leaves, and it's clean.
Okay.
So you rarely get that sweat taste. The difficulty being a Western male and doing business in China is I'm expected to drink copious amounts of alcohol in the evening.
I see. So what is that, like Pijo beer?
Pijo is beer, which is what I tend to drink because it doesn't make me completely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Though I see my hosts always catering to me and saying, oh, well, let's get you some Jack Daniels.
Really?
Or let's get you some vodka. Let's get you one of these nice Western brands.
Well, Jack has to be like ridiculously expensive in China, right?
It is, and you have to buy the whole bottle usually. So you sit at a table and you buy this, you know, $150 bottle of Jack Daniels.
Are women invited? If you're with an American businesswoman, would she be invited to go and have alcohol?
It depends on how well you know your hosts. If you know them well and you prep them and say, listen, I'm traveling with a Western woman. I'm traveling maybe just my wife, and she's not there for business, but she's there to accompany me. Or I have several female clients that will accompany to Asia, and I'll try to warn them. And what they tend to do is say, let's have a big banquet, you know, 700 courses. I think
right?
You start eating at 5 p.m. I think you finish, I don't know, midnight. You've eaten a small village by the time you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe she goes back to the hotel and the men go out and drink as disgusting alcohol as they possibly can.
I see.
And, of course, whoever gets sick and dies first wins, you know.
Are you serious?
It's that face-saving, you know, he drank more than me kind of culture.
Oh. So I wonder what they would, you know, I wonder how they would perceive a good Southern woman like myself drinking back the whiskey.
Well, if you can drink them under the table, it would be real kudos.
Would it?
Yeah.
And I've got the altitude on my favor now,
You've got the altitude, yeah. And, you know, plus you like to drink whiskey, so that'll help.
And I'm a white girl that speaks Chinese. That's good stuff,
and
right?
And you know how the Chinese do it? They surround you and they take turns toasting you. Have you been through that experience?
I have not been through that. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're sitting down with, say, 10 men, and the rule is if I toast you, I drink to you. And nobody else drinks.
Okay.
So each person takes a turn toasting you.
But do you have to drink with the
with
person?
With each person, with every sip.
Oh.
So get the foreigner drunk is a fun game they play. They'll put 10 of these guys in front of me, and they'll all take turns toasting me to my honor. And I'm drinking with them 10-1, which is impossible. So what you have to do is you have to take a look at it like any gang situation.
Mm.
And you have to pick out a victim. And I always pick some Chinese guy who weighs about half what I do and say, okay, every time I'm going to toast this guy. I'm going to put him down fast, you know. I'm 190 pounds, he's 80 pounds. It shouldn't be too tough. And once he hits the ground, that's it. Everyone suddenly backs off because you've now taken someone out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But this is fun. Get the foreigner as drunk as possible. Speaking of business drinks. So we'll take a break and talk to our sponsor for a while. I'm Bill Decker, and when we get back with Melissa Horn, we will talk about the top 10 false assumptions in international business.